favor of that, we will turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 11. And we will continue on with our study in the book of Mark. And we'll no longer consider ourselves together in business, but to be adjourned. And the book of Mark chapter number 11. And we're going to read verses 1 through 11. All right, this is a 54th lesson in the book of Mark. 54 lessons we've been in the book of Mark. And we're going to read verse number 1 down through verse number 11. The Bible said, "And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as you be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, wherein never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. And straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without a place, where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And the title for tonight's lesson, we're just going to call it the presentation of the king. The presentation of the king. Now, if you have a Scofield Bible, and you probably have a title like this, if you just have a study Bible, but it'll say something a lot of times about the triumphal entry. Or here in a Scofield Bible, it says the official presentation of Jesus as king. But a lot of times this is called the triumphal entry. We could call it tonight the presentation of the king. Now, just a little bit of background to bring us up to where we are. We've went through the first 10 chapters in the book of Mark. And Mark chapter 1 through Mark chapter number 10 covers a time period of about 3.5 years. Mark chapter 11 through chapter number 16 covers a time period of 8 days. And so we've had 3.5 years in the first 10 chapters. And then from this point forward, it's only about 8 days. And so what we gather from that is about 40% of the book of Mark covers the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're just getting ready to get into tonight. And everything else up to this point would not matter without Calvary. You know, if all we had was Mark chapters 1 through 10, and nothing else happened after that, as great as the miracles and the healing and all of the things that we've seen, if the Lord Jesus Christ did not go to Calvary and die for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day, we'd have no hope tonight. And so the great emphasis of the book of Mark is leading up to what we find here in the last chapters, the last 8 days of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you study Matthew, Mark, and Luke together, you'll see there's differences in the accounts on some of the details that took place. Now, I've never studied this out before. I'd never even really noticed it before. But I was reading J. Vernon McGee's commentary, and he says that the differences between Matthew, Mark, and Luke can be explained in that the Lord Jesus came into Jerusalem on three separate days. And that's what is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And as I studied that out, I believe that is what happened, that not only did the Lord Jesus Christ come one time into Jerusalem, but three times on three different days. And I'll just point out, and I wouldn't argue with anybody about that, but I'll just point out some of the differences here in the book of Mark. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came in on the Sabbath day, which to the Jewish person, Sabbath day is Saturday. And some of the unique things about what we read in the book of Mark is that there were no money changers in the temple. They would not have been there on the Sabbath day because the Sabbath day was the holy day. It was their day of worship. There were no money changers. And according to the book of Mark, chapter 11, in verse number 11, the only thing that the Lord Jesus did in the book of Mark is, it said in Mark 11, 11, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. So on this day he came in, he looked around, and he left. And J. Vernon McGee said that he entered on the Sabbath day as the priest, and or the high priest, the great high priest. Then on the next day, which would be Sunday, which to the Jewish people is like our Monday. We worship on Sunday, but Sunday to the Jewish people was just a regular day. It's just first day of the week. And as we see in the book of Matthew, chapter number 21, there's a difference there. On that day, the money changers were there. And this upset the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went in, and you remember, he flipped their tables over and he ran them out of the temple. And he said, "My father's house is a house of prayer, and you made it a den of thieves." And so he turned over the tables of the money changers and he run them. He cleansed the temple. And on that day, he entered as the king. Then on the next day, the Monday, the Bible said in Luke chapter number 19, if you read over there, he came into Jerusalem and he wept over Jerusalem and he entered the temple. And Luke chapter number 19 said while he was there, he taught and he healed people on that day, Luke chapter number 19. So he entered as the prophet. So he came and he presented himself as king. He presented himself as priest. And he presented him as prophet. And one thing that's interesting in Mark chapter 11, verse number 11, is that he did not stay overnight in Jerusalem. See, they rejected him. The leaders of the people, they rejected him. And he did not stay in the city that had rejected him. Mark 11, 11, and Jesus entered in Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about all things, and now the evening tide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. He did not stay in Jerusalem overnight, but he went back out. Bethany is about 2 miles from Jerusalem, and Bethphage is only about 1 mile from Jerusalem. So it's not beyond reason that each evening he went back out of Jerusalem, and he stayed, what would that take, about 30 minutes, 40 minutes to walk a couple of miles. So it's not a great distance. And so he went back to Bethany, about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. Now, this is normally called, and a lot of this tonight is by way of introduction because we're entering a new section in the book of Mark, the last 8 days. And this is usually called the triumphal entry, but that's a misnomer. A misnomer is a misname. Although there were those that accepted him and they spread out their garments and they cried Hosanna and they said, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Officially, the people in Jerusalem, the leaders, they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. While some was crying Hosanna in verse number 9, the Bible says, and they that went before and they that followed cried saying Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh into the name of the Lord. Some of them were crying Hosanna. No doubt just a few days later, some of those same people were crying out, crucify him, crucify him. We don't want him. Crowds are like that. They'll be on your bandwagon one day and you turn around a couple days later and they want to get rid of you. And so we find that the Lord Jesus came and he presented himself not just, I believe, on one occasion, but on several occasions. And overall, by the end of the week, they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not accept him. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11 is a fulfillment. And you say, well, why did it happen? Why did it happen? It happened in fulfillment of prophecy. And it is a fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 9, where the Bible says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Now, if they would have read and believed their Old Testament scriptures, there would have been no way that they could have missed the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in the book of Zechariah very specifically, he is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. There were not just one donkey, that's what we call them, but there was two. There was the mama and the baby, the colt. And just like it says in the book of Zechariah is how it came to pass. Now, if you and I were the rightful king of a city, of a people, and the day would come for you to ride into your kingdom, for you to ride into your city, how would you go about it? If you and I were kings and queens, the way human understanding would go about it would be to go about it with as much publicity and showmanship, and I mean, it would be a big deal. You'd think that a king would ride in on a white stallion. The best band in the city is going to be playing in the front, and the army is going to be marching along in front and behind, and all the bodyguards and the best stallion or coach or whatever the case might be. I mean, the king's coming. It's a big deal. But now that's how man does things. That's not how the Lord Jesus Christ came. He came in fulfillment of Scripture. The main characteristic of the way the Lord Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem is that it was characterized by lowly. Humility. He came and the people shouted Hosanna and praise the Lord. Just like it says in the book of Zechariah, if they would have believed and read the Old Testament, they would have recognized immediately that's not an imposter, because no imposter would ride into town like that. They'd make a big deal out of it. But the Lord Jesus Christ came in accordance to the Scriptures. And that is all by way of introduction tonight. I'll take just a little time and give us a little bit of a devotional thought for our hearts, something to think about as we come to this passage of Scripture. Now, that's the circumstances, that's the background, that is what is taking place. But I want to say, first of all, tonight that there was a special commission. You only find this one time in the Bible. A special commission, verse 1 and 2. When they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany and the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. Here's a special commission. He sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat, loose him and bring him. The commission there is in verse number 1. He sendeth forth two of his disciples. And he had a special mission for them. And what he had for them to do is found in verse number 2. He saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat, loose him and bring him. Now, that was the special commission by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'd agree with me tonight, that's a little odd. I mean, that sort of sounds like stealing. If you were the disciple and somebody told you, go into town, and as soon as you go into town, there's going to be a Toyota Camry sitting on the corner, and you just, the keys are in it. Just get in it. And if anybody asks you what you're doing, so just tell them that I need it. See, in the Bible, it doesn't sound odd, but if you really think about it, that sort of sounds like stealing. But that's what the Lord told me. I mean, that's what I would think, wouldn't you? The Lord told me to go in there and get the first donkey I come to, and he's tied up to somebody's house, and just unloose him. The Lord didn't say to go knock on the door and ask permission. The Lord said, just go into town, you're going to find it, and just loose it back, bring it back. If anybody asks, tell them I need it. Would that be hard for you to do if somebody told you to do that? As a little bit of an odd request. Now, the people, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem, they did not recognize Zechariah chapter 9 and verse number 9. But the Lord Jesus Christ knew that it had to be done in an exact, specific, certain way. If it was not according to Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 9, it's not according to the Scripture, something's wrong. But the Lord knew it had to be done an exact, certain way. Now, I got to thinking about this. Sometimes, thinking about things, I mean, you really get to thinking about it. You go over and over and over in your mind. I thought to myself, did the Lord know it would be there? Because that he was God manifested in the flesh, did he know that that donkey would be there? Or did he believe that the colt would be there because the Bible says he came as a servant? Mark chapter 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And Philippians chapter number 2 says that he came as a servant. He came in subjection to his Father's will. So as God, did he know that it would be there? Or as the servant of God, did he believe that it was going to be there? And I think the answer tonight to that question would be, well, both. I believe both. Faith is acting on God's command that just simply says, go. And believing that the outcome is going to be as the Lord said, ye shall find. So I believe the Lord knew, but I believe the Lord acted in faith as well. Faith is an interesting thing. Faith, as I studied this out, and I believe the Lord did know that it would be, he knew it would be there because he's God, but he knew it would be there because he's our great example of faith also. Faith prepares for opposition. Now, if you're going to live by faith and you're going to pray and have faith in the Lord, don't think that that does not mean that there is going to be no opposition. Because faith prepares for opposition. The Bible said in verse number 3 that the Lord Jesus said, and if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. And straightway he will send him hither. Faith prepared for opposition. The Lord knew. Somebody might ask, what are you doing? Faith, as we talk about having faith, that doesn't mean that we do not prepare in any way whatsoever. Things are going to come up. What are we going to do? Are we going to cease to operate in faith? The Lord operated in faith the whole time. Now, if anybody asks you, here's what you're going to do. He prepared ahead. Faith also expects fully that there will be victory. The Lord Jesus said in verse number 3 and the middle part of the verse, say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. The Lord expected that there would be opposition, but he expected that there would be victory. I think we expect a lot of times, I'm talking about us, a lot of times we think about faith and we expect that there will be opposition, but we don't expect that there will be victory. Oh, we know the devil's, like I was talking about tonight, I'm just preaching to myself, you know. Yeah, the devil's fighting us on every hand, but do we expect that there would be victory? I mean, it's just this sort of funny, but when that bee popped me in the eye, the first thing I thought of is, and I'm expecting to swell up like a pumpkin, because that has happened before, and I've had to go to the hospital and get a shot. And that close to your head. I mean, that's on my head. Right between my eyeballs. I got stung here one time, and one eyeball swole up. So I got stung in the middle. I'm thinking both eyeballs are going to swell shut. I'm looking to see if I got hives and shortness of breath and all. And I've got an EpiPen. And, man, I really hate the thoughts of having to use that. Just the dread of it. So I'm looking, but I took two Benadryl. I don't like to do that. And I got the stinger out, but I prayed. I knew that the devil's been fighting all day long, not for days and even for weeks. I told Kim a while back, I said, I think our church is under attack. I think our family is under attack. Satan is just, he's roaring and raging. And so I prayed and I said, Lord, help me. Lord, help my head not to swell up. Lord, I pray I'll be able to go to church tonight. I thought about Paul when he had been shipwrecked and they were gathering firewood, and he reached in the firewood and a poisonous snake bit him on the hand and he shook it off, and they all said, see there, he's not from God, and the sea didn't get him. And I'm paraphrasing. But this snake and the gods have caught up with Paul. But after a while, when he didn't swell or fall down dead, they said, well, he must really be from God. So I thought about that. I thought, Lord, I'm just going to have faith. I'm not going to call anybody. I'm going to get ready. I'm going to get cleaned up. It happened at 5 o'clock. And so a lot of times we expect that there's going to be opposition, but we do not expect that there's going to be victory. But the Lord Jesus Christ fully knew that there would be opposition, and he fully expected that there would be victory. He said, somebody's going to ask you about it. Tell them the Lord needs it, and he'll send it. That's faith. A lot of times we're short when it comes to faith, but the Lord Jesus Christ had a special commission, a mission to send these two disciples on. And we see his great faith and forethought exercise there. We need to have faith as well. So there's a special commission. Number two, there's the disciples' cooperation. And I asked a minute ago, if somebody asked you to do that, would you do that? Well, if the Lord asked me, I would. We would like to think that we would, but it sounds sort of, I don't know. That's what the Lord said to do. So we find the disciples' cooperation. Number one, we see their obedience in verse number 4. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they loose him. Now, I don't have time to preach on it tonight, but there's a great message there that they found the colt tied by the door in a place where two ways met. Aren't we always right there at the decision point? Which, I mean, to go would be easy. Well, the Lord said to go. To get there and find it, well, he did say there'd be a colt, but they're everywhere. That's the car of the day. Now, it would take more faith to go up and untie somebody else's property. But they obeyed and did exactly, but we're always there. We're at a place where two ways met. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Am I going to obey the Lord? And am I going to talk myself out of it? Am I going to have faith? Or am I going to go talk to somebody and see what they think? What are we going to do? They just obeyed the Lord. Well, our lives would be simplified so much if we would just obey the Lord. They obeyed and they went. Faith is an action word. See, the Lord had faith, but they had to have faith too. They had to have faith to do that. And faith is an action word. Faith says, yes, sir. You two disciples, go do this. Yes, sir. It doesn't make any sense, but okay. Maybe one disciple looked at the other and said, "You heard what he said, let's go." I mean, faith does what is asked. We see their obedience to the Lord's command. We see their experience in verse number 4. The Bible said, "And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door, without, in a place where two ways met, and they loose him." They went their way. Here's what you ought to recognize. They went their way and found. Their experience was that they found the colt just like the Lord had said. Now Luke chapter 19 verse 32 says it like this. "And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them." Just exactly like the Lord Jesus had told them it was going to happen. That's just exactly how it happened. They went their way and they found even as he had said unto them. I've been saved now. I was figuring up today. 36 years. I was saved when I was 9 years old. My experience down through my Christian life is this. If he says it, that's how you're going to find it. Whatever the Lord says unto us, that's how you're going to find it. The Lord says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know how many millions of people down through the years have come to the Lord Jesus and said, "I don't know if he would save me or not. I don't know if that's for me. I'm not good enough. I'm not," you know, all the arguments people make. But if you will come and take the Lord Jesus at his word, you will find that it is just as he said. If you'll come and believe, repent, and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll save you. Just like he said he would. Whatever he says, it will happen just like he said it. And so there's a wonderful, beautiful picture here of the disciples and their experience. We have tested this and seen the Lord's hand many, many times down through the years. The Bible said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." We might come from month to month and to month and say, "Where does it all go?" But if you'll look back on months and months and months past, you will find that whether you even had it or not, God was faithful and supplied. Just like he said, God never promised anybody they'd have a big bank account. He never promised anybody that they'd have 6 months' provisions. He just promised that he would supply our daily bread, and he is faithful. I've never found it not to be so. You'll find his word just as he says. If you need guidance, he'll provide guidance. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." If you need an answer to prayer, just pray and trust the Lord. You will find that he will supply your need. I'm going to tell you a real blessing. I have prayed several times in the past 6 or 8 months, well, really last year, that I needed some wood to burn this year. And I know where there's some is, and but I just hadn't got there to get it. But I prayed about that a long time ago. When we burned up the last year, I said, "Lord, we're going to need some wood this coming year." I come in last night, and it's a big old pile of wood in my yard. And my brother had sent it up there. And today, about 12 o'clock, I guess, here come another big old load of wood. And I said, "Boy, praise the Lord." I said, "Thank you. I needed that. I like that." And I was out there today. I started chopping on it and going to start stacking it up. And I was just praying and thanking the Lord. And I thought, "Lord," I said, "Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for this. It just come and dumped in my lap." Isn't that a blessing? But as I was praying and thanking the Lord, now the Lord reminded, and if you don't believe this, that's all right. But the Lord reminded me that when I had went and helped preach a meeting back in the spring with Preacher Mark. I spent 2 or 3 days helping him. Helping him in his woods specifically. And boy, we worked together good, and we got enough laid up, he said, for him for all winter. And the thought came to my mind that I had enough for all winter and to go into next winter. The Lord said, "You help Brother Mark." The Lord is faithful. He is on time, all the time. He'll meet your needs. He answers prayer. That is in answer to prayer. Now, lost people don't understand that. That's all right. That don't bother me. But I understand that. I understand that God answers prayer. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. That's what the Bible says. If you will pray, if you will look to Him for guidance, you will find it just like He said. Just like the disciples did. Well, I'll be. There it is. Just like He said. He knows. He's God. That is their experience. Then we see also in verses 4 through 6, we see the disciples, we see their authority. The Bible said in verse 4, "And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him." And that's where I'd have got real nervous. I'd have been looking around. That's somebody else's property. They loose him, and sure enough, verse 5, "And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye loosing the colt?" Man, that guy could have been 6'8" and 350 pounds. He could have had a big old stick standing. "What are you doing? What do you boys think you're doing? You just walk up here, you're untying our... What are you doing?" They said unto them, verse number 6, here's their response. "And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go." What did the Lord tell them to do? The Lord said, "Go, you'll find it, untie it, bring it to me. If anybody asks, say, the Lord hath need of him." And that is all they did. There's a great principle here in verses 4 through 6. About our authority as the children of God and how we ought to operate in this world. If we would just stay in the Word of God, it'd save us a whole lot of trouble. We're going to have trouble enough. But a lot of the trouble we have is because we get outside of the Word of God. Now, I guarantee you, if them two fellas had tried to talk their way out of that, they'd have been in trouble. But they didn't do it. They just did exactly what the Lord said to do. No more, no less. That probably wasn't Peter. If that had been Peter, he'd tried to talk his way out of it. He said, "Hey, fellas, my uncle lives down the road down here. You might know him. And we're just passing through. And the Lord," you know, he'd have run that mouth and got himself. But those two disciples, whoever it was, I don't know. They just said, "The Lord hath need of him." That's all the Lord said. We get ourselves in so much trouble. Pastors, churches get themselves in so many bad predicaments because they go outside the authority of the Word of God. And I have talked to pastors down through the years, and all the time, "Well, we're redoing our bylaws, and they're putting in things that are not findable in the Bible." All you're doing is asking yourself for a whole lot of trouble down the road. If we just do what the Lord said to do and forget about the rest of it. That's what they did. I get a great blessing out of that. They just said exactly what the Lord said. The Lord needs him. And they let him go. And then last of all, there's the happy conclusion or the result. Verses 7 through 11. Verse number 7 and verse number 8. "As they went out in faith, they operated in faith, they believed, they obeyed." What was the result? His coming was honored. Verse 7, "And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him. And he sat upon him, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees." and strawed them in the way. I hope they had permission before they cut the branches down. Did I get you in trouble too? I get you fussed at. But his coming was honored. His name was praised in verse number 9. And they went before, and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Could they not see that they were right in the middle of Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 9? They were doing exactly what the Bible says that would be done when the Messiah would come. But they were living and couldn't recognize it. And can I say right there tonight that we are living this Bible out every day before our eyes, but we can't see it. We ought to be the most excited generation of Christians that has ever walked upon the face of the earth, because we are living right in the middle of what the Bible says the last days are going to be like. And we see the evidence of it around us all the time. We ought to be the ones saying, Hosanna, praise the Lord. Blessed is he that cometh. Hey, days are drawing short. The Lord's coming. And we ought to be excited about it. But they were living it and couldn't see it. And I believe we're the same way sometimes. Can't we see that just any day the Lord's going to come? What ought to thrill us? I mean, isn't that interesting tonight? Why couldn't they see that? Why can't we see that? We're the same as they are. His coming was honored. His name was praised. What happens when we go in faith and obey the Lord and just do what he tells us to do? His coming will be honored. His name will be praised. His will be done. Verse 11, his will was done. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the evening tide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Now you think about it tonight. All that for that. All that for that. All the traveling, all the disciples sending, and all the riding, and all the hosannas, and all the praise. All that just for that. All he did was went into the temple, looked around, left, and went back and spent the night in Bethany. All that for that? Well, that doesn't make any sense, preacher. Why all that for that? I thought about that. What's the lesson in all that? The lesson in all of that is just this. Just do what the Lord says, understand it or not. They didn't understand it. They just obeyed. The Lord got the honor. We're not doing this for our honor and our glory. For us to go out and get donkeys, it's for the Lord. It's for his honor and for his glory. When we think about our lives, when we think about Christianity, when we think about the last days, when we think about the church and the Great Commission and all of those things that make up all of our lives and everything that you and I will ever do in our lives, God is designing a great big quilt. And you and I are just we're a stitch. Our little part in the whole. We don't understand everything all the time. But one of these days, we will be glorified. One of these days, if you're saved by the grace of God, you go to heaven. And we will see then with perfect knowledge and understanding, we'll understand the whole of what now we just understand a little bit of. If we even understand that. You're not going to understand everything the Lord tells us to do. Just do what he says. It'll be all right. He's working on the big picture. He knows what he's doing. Isn't that a blessing? Oh, I don't know. I don't understand. We're not called to know everything and understand everything. Just do what he says. It'll be all right. Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 9, had to be fulfilled according to the scriptures, or the Bible's not worth anything. But it was fulfilled exactly by them obeying and doing what the Lord said to do. Just do it when he says. Just obey his word, and it'll be all right. So I hope you've got something out of it tonight.